Real Racing USA, come and get you live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful South Tampa. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm Bill Green.
I'm Jack Smith.
Hey.
We're back again.
Having a
Fumble
again.
D and Fumble Dumb.
Fumble D and Fumble Dumb.
Oh, used to be the Fumble Inn.
Yeah.
Now it's the Snook River Grill.
Wow.
We're going to have a retro show soon. It's going to return to the Snook River Grill.
We are?
It's going to be called the Fumble Inn.
Bill just woke up from a nap.
No, oh. Bill just got thrown a curveball. He's trying to fix it.
Oh. What was the curve?
I thought this was mine. Don't work now.
I thought it was a racing show. All you got to do is bang it, and it works.
Yeah, spit in the back of it.
Spit on it.
Hello. Okay.
Hey Rick,
figure it out. You guys.
So who we have on tonight?
I don't know. You got the list.
Oh, I thought you had the list.
No, Bill's got the list.
Bill must have the list.
Bill's playing music. Oh, got Clyde Poole in the house.
We got
the First Lady of Sprint Car Racing.
First Lady of Sprint Car Racing.
Jeannie Lynch.
That's right.
Eddie Van Meter won the North-South Challenge, the Speedfest race last year.
Yeah, you know what I found out yesterday?
That was his only win.
He also races figure eights out there at that crazy place in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else have we got? Let me steal Bill's list here. Gene Crane, going to be calling in later. Alan Holland, Mr. Hosehead himself. Joe Linebauer.
Linebauer.
From Volusia County Speedway.
And of Line course, Barrier.
Line Barrier.
I misspelled his name, and he and I were laughing about that earlier today.
World Outlaw
I really
Star.
Made him into a good German, you know.
Wow, you just killed everything, Bill.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Bill's having a psychotic breakdown.
Yes, he is. He's freaking.
He's having a freak show down there.
Yeah, he is. Chad Kemenaw is going to be on the show, too. Who put these speaker wires on?
Can you see Bill going down the back straight at East Bay in a 410 sprint?
No.
I'd like to. I'd like to see Clyde driving.
What's happening this week, Bill?
Bill, what's going on this week?
Nothing.
He's still counting to 10. He's still counting
working.
To 10.
I'm still working, guys, because I'm trying to get things squared away. Everything
working.
Sounds good.
Aren't
we always
all
sound
working?
Good.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, but we go to great lengths to point out when I'm not, so I try to fix it.
You sound
as
like
best I can.
Never mind.
Hey, we do have to apologize for last week.
Was my fault. My fault all along.
No, it wasn't your fault.
Nah,
won't say whose fault that
just,
was, but it wasn't
happened,
your fault.
Man. We lost the copy for people so they could listen to the show.
What a primo show it was.
Man, you don't get Danny Toler to come in and sit down every week, and then we go and screw it up.
Yeah, Bill
Whoever
calls me
it.
On the phone. I'm like,
I was crying.
I've been driving for an hour to get back to Northport, and Bill calls me on the phone, and he goes, I'm listening to this message, and he goes, Jack? And I knew the way he said Jack. I already knew what had happened.
Were not good.
Yeah, things were not good. He'd lost the show. So it happens. Won't happen again, though.
Nope. Got it taken care of now.
Did you see Eric Aramola's car?
Oh, man, yes.
I didn't see it.
Oh,
the 18? The
God.
Gray 18. It was all watered up, buddy.
He blew a tire going into two at Daytona.
He got a little help.
Elliot?
Yeah. Elliot
got they racing?
Elliot got underneath him right
no,
as the tire
practice.
Blew.
Practice for Bush practice.
Bad timing, but
Gibbs car.
Elliot goes to go underneath him between one and two as the tire blows in two because he's got so much pressure on it, and that just sent him up on his side. When he went on his side, it kind of flipped over on his lid, slid to the grass, and when it caught the grass, it really started to tumble and gave him about five good rolls.
Says, those things don't ride real well on interliners.
Nope.
It got loose, it got sideways, and I don't know what happened after that. I closed my eyes, and when I opened them again, all I saw was sparks and racetrack. It's not a good thing.
So what, he got hit by somebody else?
No.
He blew
a tire.
Oh,
he just blew a tire.
But
he
Elliot
blew
got
tire
into
at the same
him.
Time that Elliot took the air kind of away from the side of the car,
gotcha.
So it didn't help it. And he didn't touch him. He just helped jack him around, and he got turned upside
down. That's
around.
Another racing deal called NASCAR or something like that?
Yeah. Those guys are only good.
We're talking about real racing tonight, though, right? Sprint cars.
Sprint cars.
We're trying.
Real racing. Not that fancy racing. Of course, these guys up in NASCAR now are they're starting to show they're starting to show they're real people.
Yeah.
You heard about Martin Truex, right?
Yeah.
Got caught peeing behind the garage.
Yeah, in Daytona.
Yeah. Volusia County Police. Tinkle.
What?
He was on the third level,
yeah.
Taking a tinkle behind the truck because he had to go pee so bad.
Truex's quote is, I got a ticket for doing something stupid.
So he stops and takes a leak, and dead across from him, sitting in an unmarked car guarding the place, is a deputy sheriff who goes, I hope that's worth $100. And Truex gets in his wallet, still going, and pulls out $100, goes, yeah, I guess so. So now they've got him for bribing the officer. So they've got
You know, in some things, the French are ahead of us in some ways.
He wound up with charges for drunk and disorderly in public or something, I think. Because he had
I had to take a leak in the corner of the parking garage where no one else could see. It was a stupid mistake, and I'll never do it again, said Truex.
Yeah. And I'll never lose another show either.
Please, don't.
I won't.
Now, NASCAR is adjusting the points again.
Oh, man. What are these people thinking?
Race victories will become more important than ever in 2007 as a result of adjustments to the point system. This is on Jayski.com, which has got some good stuff on it.
Yeah, oh, Jayski's always on top of stuff. But, I mean, I don't understand why they would actually make it.
Somebody's phone's getting ready to ring.
Yep, probably mine.
Yeah, that one right there.
The top.
Now, you hear that?
During the format's first 3 years, the top 10 drivers in the points.
Clyde's playing with
after hey, 26 Bill. Race. Blah, blah, blah. I'm talking.
Rick, hold on a minute.
Go ahead.
Bill.
I saw the number. I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to build a commercial break. So when you throw it
what
at
do you
me, I'm
call
ready.
This number right now?
Yeah, call that guy up.
Who is it?
Yeah, just call him up. That's Mr. Excitement. He has all the answers about
NASCAR.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, my God. Let me call him. Yeah, go ahead. You guys talk.
Go ahead. All right. Everybody knows who Mr.
So, Bill, what's the deal with the points? I didn't catch all that.
Well, I didn't catch every bit of it, but they're going to 12 cars in the chase, I think, this year. They're not going to have a 400-number limit. The 12 cars are going to get in kind of thing. And if they go to a limit on race number, I didn't catch that part. But they're also going to make 5 more points per race. Makes it 10 more points since 3 years ago. And let's see here. The points adjustments, race victories become more important in 2007 as a result of the adjustments. The Cup format announced that they would also adjust the balance between winning and consistency. There's a new emphasis on the former. The adjustments taken today are put a greater emphasis on winning races, as said NASCAR Chairman CEO Brian France.
Shouldn't it be that way?
Well, it is now, I guess, if that's what they're thinking it is. Winning is what the sport's all about. Nobody likes to see drivers contend to be finished in 10th spot. We want your sport, especially during the chase, to be more about winning. So, last 10 races will further reflect the importance of race winning via a variety of adjustments. During the format's first 3 years, the top 10 drivers in points after 26th race of the season qualified for the chase. In addition, any other driver in the top 10 but within 400 points. Starting this season, the 400-point cutoff is eliminated. Also, after race 26, the top 12 drivers in points qualify for the chase period. So anyway, top 12 are going in no matter what, no matter where their points are, and then they'll adjust the points right back to the situation they got. So let's get the definitive word from the man himself and go right to the phone, and we are linked with Mr. Excitement.
All right, he's doing a little research real quick on the computer.
We caught him unprepared again, didn't we?
No,
he's an expert. He knows his stuff right off the top of his head.
John, Bertie, how you been, bud?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm all right. I just wish you weren't doing quite so much of that limousine driving as you were reporting.
You need to come down to East Bay and play with us, man.
Well, I'm going to try as much as possible where it doesn't conflict with the chauffeuring. The things are starting to pick up, but I got to go where I can, when I get the opportunities to make the money, I got to get out there and make the money and pass by a reduced pension.
John, we know what you're doing. I got to remember to put his name in with Miss Jean then,
yes,
if he's going to come
back.
Otherwise,
John, tell us.
John,
tell us about the significance of the NASCAR points change. You're the only person we know who really knows this kind of stuff.
Well, they've made a number of changes. First off, now instead of having 10 drivers be able to make it to the chase at the end of the season, it's going to be 12 drivers that are going to make it. And they're going to end up being seated among those top 12 drivers. They're going to be seated not according to what the point standings were at that time, but it's going to be based on the number of wins that were amassed by each one of the drivers during the season. So the driver that amasses the most amount of wins will be number one, and then number two.
John, what? Does that mean that if they have, let's say we have 3 drivers out of those 12, one guy's won 3 races, one guy's won 2 races, one guy's won 1 race, and nobody else has won a race in the top 12, those 3 would be atop the leaderboard, so to speak, 3-2-1.
That's how I understand it. They're going to make those wins count this year, and the driver that has the most amount of wins will end up being the highest seed. And it'll go down that way there based to the number of wins out.
Now,
of course, the driver that doesn't have the most amount of any wins on the season, of course, will be seeded further down through the listing.
John.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you, and that has to do with then when we get down to race number 24, 25, and 26 leading up to the chase, those race wins are going to get a little more critical, and people are going to start to be a little bit more pushy, I would think.
I would imagine so, too. Yeah, they're going to be... there's going to be even more vested interest in that,
John, it's going to be a wreck fest. 25, 26, 24, and 23 races.
It's an advantage for Tony Stewart.
Are going to be a wreck fest.
The ratings will go through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
it's going to be people beating the crap out of people.
I'm sensing, unlike my our close friend Carol, that you are not a Tony Stewart fan.
I'll tell you what, every time I go into Home Depot, when I sign my check, I put on the check, thanks, Tony, number 20, and I make jokes with them. Half the people in there don't even know who Tony Stewart is. It cracks me up.
Oh, my. The other thing is starting the season, you remember how they were having the 400-point cutoff?
Yep.
As another determining factor of who it was that was going to make the chase? That's been eliminated.
So you can't be number 13 and get in no matter what the points are. You could be within 100 points of the leader, and you're out.
That's out the window.
So do you have this story on Short Track America?
Yes, it is. It is posted there among our top
stories. Southern Short Track?
Short Track.
Have you written a commentary of your own on it yet?
I have not made any commentary on my own.
Okay.
You have till Thursday.
Okay, John.
Yes.
So
yes.
Here we come live. What's your comments on this?
You got 30 seconds.
Well, believe it or not, I haven't had much of a chance to really go through this and digest this. Right now, I would say that on the surface, I think it's going to work out a little better. You're going to have 10. You're going to, instead of having 10 drivers making it, you're going to have 12. So it's going to increase the number of drivers that are going to make it into contention for the championship. They're putting more vested interest in wins. I think that's good. I think that should have been happening all along anyway. And rather than having a guy that has no wins along the whole season, it ends
His time's up.
Okay, and in closing, John, what do you think about Martin Truex peeing in the garage?
You caught me off guard on that one. That was something.
That's our job.
Right. Well, research that. Get back with us next week. Thanks a lot, Mr. Excitement, John Birdie.
See you, Johnny.
Thank you very much, guys. You have a great show now. I know you will.
Talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, John.
Bye, John.
Bill and John need to come down to East Bay together and broadcast the late models.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll put them in the little tower over
together.
There in turn four.
I'm sorry, guys, but I cannot get a kitchen pass for that one.
I'll stand guard outside.
On a sad note, Bill.
Man, you had to turn that tide real quick on me. As everyone heard last Sunday in the Enduro, Charlotte County Motorsports Park, Hugh Murphy passed away. And a definitive word hasn't come down yet, I don't believe. They have said that he had a heart attack, I believe, long before he got to the wall that he actually collected. It's a sad situation. In one instance, as you hate to lose a racer and you hate to lose one on the track because it draws a lot of negative attention to racing that we don't really need. But yet, Hugh Murphy had the opportunity for the last 9 years to race with his son, Todd. The family was there every week that they went racing. The kids, the grandkids, his wife, everybody, they all enjoyed going and having a good time and being together. So it just seemed to be a fitting situation for the end of the road for the young man. And he was only 65, which is not all that old nowadays. I mean, we get much older. But it's just one of those things. A lot of negative things came down. People started yelling about no ambulance on scene, that kind of thing. But we had some of the best EMTs that are working in the fire department locally. They are, you know, the lady was a registered emergency medical technician, and they did everything they possibly could trackside to help Hugh out. And Hugh hung in there and fought as hard as he could for a long time, but it just wasn't to be.
The other thing is what was really cool was the entire field donated all their money to the Murphy family.
Three things happened really quick, and you had to be watching very closely to see it happen. Number one, when he hit the wall and came to a stop, there was a lady sitting real close to the fence area. There's a bar, and she had like five children with her watching the race. They were intently watching this race. She immediately took all of those children and didn't run to the fence. She took them backwards away from the fence, and nobody ran to the fence except for about three people that were part of the, you know, long extended family.
Right.
So people moved back and got out of the way and let the EMTs and the people work as best they could. Second thing was all the racers, red flag came out. They all stopped their cars as soon as they could. The 911 was called. The ambulance is coming. They're working on him. And the drivers have already gotten out of their cars trying to figure out what they should do next. And, of course, they can't do anything in reality. They have to sit still and wait for all the emergency people to do their job. But they started talking amongst themselves, and they had no inkling as to how severe the situation was, but they had already started talking amongst themselves about donating the purse, because it wasn't going to be a huge purse as enduros go, but it was big enough. And so they donated their entire purse to the family, and the race was called off, of course, immediately after the incident, and Hugh had left the track in the ambulance. And then the sheriffs came in and did their normal walkthrough, and they've got to do their taking statements from everybody, that kind of stuff. It was really nice of them to do that, and it was a very heartfelt, straightforward situation.
The media in down there also handled that. I'm amazed, and it was good to see the media, the television and newspapers and radios.
I got to thank Donald.
They all handled it really, really good in a positive way.
We've seen some ugly stuff come from the media down there.
Yeah. And what just happened with the media down there over this thing was completely different than I've seen.
Because I immediately called Fox 4, and Donald Richardson had been with us all morning that morning, taping interviews with the track owner and some of the drivers, and he went back to take his video copy about 3 in the afternoon. He was headed back, and we're going to take it, do a story, and put it on the 6 o'clock news. And in doing so, I called him and let him know what really happened after he left, and they did a whole another kind of side of the story, found out the information, passed it on very gingerly, did a very good job. And in that instance, the Charlotte Sun is calling me now. They want to talk to us about, you know, Hugh and his life, because I had seen him many times at Sunshine
Speedway, right? The Murphy family race.
Yeah, the Murphy family has been around
and you,
racing enduro.
And you have the information on the arrangements?
The fund is the Murphy Fund, 8655 Piper Road, which is in care of Charlotte County Motorsports Park, Punta Gorda, Florida. 33952, phone number 941-575-7223.
I believe that information is on Charlotte County Racing.com.
Yeah, it's on the. I know that part's also on the website and the message board. But there's also, I believe you had put up the information on the message board about the funeral arrangements and so forth coming up in Clearwater. I know it's Saturday morning, 11 a.m. in Clearwater. So, Rick, you got the address?
The viewing will be Friday, January 26th, 6 to 8 p.m. And the funeral will be Saturday, January 27th at 11 a.m. Sylvan Abbey Funeral Home, 2853 Sunset Point Road in Clearwater, Florida. The phone number is 727-797-8410.
So from a little sadness to a little anger. How about some anger? You know what really pisses me off?
What? Who gets the money?
No. Oh. That was another show. You know, that Putnam County Speedway, Stan Lawrence came in, and he took this place over. It had been closed. Putnam County is in Putnam County.
Yeah.
It's over around Daytona, west of Daytona, somewhere over in there.
Yeah, it's
down
south
the middle of nowhere.
South of Jacksonville.
But it's a great track. Bob Potter had put the place together, and some other people had came in and done some work on it. Stan Lawrence come in, and he's doing a great job getting this place going. People are coming. Dirt drivers from all over Florida are going to the place. They're having
just raving about it.
Yeah, the place is going great. Yeah. And here we have a racetrack being closed because the owner isn't a multi-zillionaire and can't afford to defend himself against lawsuits. And so now they're trying to find somebody to come in and take it over because he can't afford to do it because he's got to go spend his money fighting lawsuits.
Personal money.
The lawsuit has nothing to do with the track personally.
We actually can't talk too much about it.
Can't go there.
Stan's going to be on next week.
Yeah,
he, we okay. hope.
He discussed it with his attorneys today, and he can't be on with us tonight, but he will be next week.
The complete letter's on Karnak on the message board. It's under Putnam County Speedway will not open this season under current management, and it's pretty detailed.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I remember reading it quickly. And
it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks because
like we need to lose another one to some.
I don't think it's going to go anywhere. They just went through all kinds of county stuff and all that, and everything got approved, and everything was starting to look good, and I guess you piss off a driver, that's what happens.
Yeah, I guess it was something along those lines. But
you can't piss off
a whole different story.
They'll send the EPA after you.
But he did say that there's a number of people, five or six different parties, who are interested in either taking over the lease of the place or buying it outright, and he told me he felt pretty positive that the place would be able to continue operating, hopefully without skipping a beat. I mean, they have the food ordered and every other thing, you know. So
you think it's Tony Dungy's year finally?
And it better be, or I'm going to be living with
trouble. When the guy intercepted the pass there that ended the game, I mean, I got a little tear, man. It was like
justice has been served.
Yeah, it's about time. And I thought about all those guys who used to play for Tony down in Tampa, you know, and they must be so happy for that guy.
Oh yeah,
who's got to be really feeling good? Got traded.
You got to be quick to keep up with this show.
Got traded about five, six weeks ago. Yeah. Booger McFarland up there playing for Indy, headed to the Super Bowl.
I think Bill wants to go to a break.
Want to go to a break?
Make sure I didn't start at the wrong time. That was all.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, don't go far, folks. Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill, 2505.
Coming
East
up,
Canada
big
Avenue.
Time, yes.
We are going to go to the lady, the queen of short track racing. We'll talk to her in just a minute. Don't go away. Clyde Poole coming up, too.
Hi, I'm Paulie Milam, driver of the number 42 Sprint Car at East Bay TVARA, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angie.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA. Where we at, Jack?
Snook River Grill, of course.
Great place. Yeah. Great place.
The tilapia is excellent.
Great fish.
Great fish. You know what we didn't talk about real quick coming up this Saturday night is Karnak.com night at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. Did you know that, Jack?
I had no idea.
You had no idea?
I just found that out a few hours this morning.
It's great. They just name stuff after you.
Yeah, they
had no idea.
No, it's actually, I talked them kind of into it. I didn't know they would start this way, but I did talk them in. I said, hey, you got these sponsors that are already here. Let's build them up and make them feel better about themselves. And
Bobby
nice
needs to get some of these
situation.
People that
I need to feel better about myself.
So let's start naming stuff after them, whatever it is, you know, whether it be the tow and prompt towing night or whatever.
Right.
Well, he starts with Karnak night. What can I say?
He needs to get some of his people that work for him to help him spell check, though.
That's why I talked him into hiring Bill.
He's still got the Outlaws. He left something out.
That's okay. We know.
Well, no, it's just I've worked with this lady several times over the years, whether it be with Short Track USA or as the announcer at East Bay Raceway Park. She comes in each year and helps out and actually travels the country, I think, doing the same thing for a lot of folks. And that is Miss Jeannie Lynch, a member of the Sprint Car Hall of Fame, well-known in racing circles and sprint car circles, that's for sure. Jeannie, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming down.
Thank you very much, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's awesome to see you again. How long have you been doing this where you travel in and help the shows out? And tell us how you got started with that, because I believe you kind of traveled with your own series that you were part owner in.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we've done all of the above. With East Bay, though, I go back. Isn't it wonderful? I go back for all 31 years. And our anniversary of the very first race we did is coming up on the 7th of February. And I have that first year, you know, posted in the media room up at East Bay. For the, you know, a lot of the media like to come in and look at the names from back then. But we did run a series where we were at different tracks. And East Bay just happened to open that year. And they wanted us to come on down, and I thought, oh, boy, what's this going to be like? another new track in Florida, and, you know, good racing clay is not easy to find.
Yeah. No, they brought in some good stuff, apparently.
But they got some good stuff here at East Bay, and everything went well. And, boy, first thing you know, we're back again and again. And now we're this will be the 31st anniversary of the sprint cars. But isn't it ironic, Bill, that the late models didn't start their Winter Nationals till the year after? Yeah. And then we started, so this will be the 30th anniversary for the late models to do their Winter National.
How did your sprint car series, Pennsylvania, right?
Well, no. Actually, they were from all over. There was a fella who headed it that brought the tour to Florida. We ran asphalt and dirt, and it was a conglomeration of people from the Chicago area, Kokomo area, and Midwest, but we drew...
What was the name of the series back then?
Well, then, do you remember a name called... a name of a fellow, Rocky Fisher?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he brought the series down to Florida and booked, you know, like 10 events, 14
because
events.
Because originally it was just called the 410 Sprint Nationals.
Yes, that's true.
That's what it came started out as.
That's true.
And that has still been the 410s. That's still the way they refer to them each time they run.
That's right. And through the years, it has carried different sanctions. You know, it even had to, it was open competition, so to speak, for a while. And then it carried a World of Outlaws sanction for a number of years. Then, of course, the most predominant and longest running series was the All-Star Circuit of Champions that was based out of Ohio, and that had a long running.
Well, you've had history with it, and I hope you don't mind me asking, but you were part owner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and I still am. Isn't that something? Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
How long have you been, you know, that deep into the business, so to speak, that you put your own money into it?
Yes. Well, gee, I suppose it's going on 26, 27 years. You know, for the All-Stars. So,
wow.
It's a year. I don't think you fellas know a fellow by the name of Bud Miller.
Doesn't ring a bell.
No.
Right away, but
okay, he was from Western Pennsylvania, up near the Sharon area, and he was very involved in racing, and he had started something that he was calling the All-Stars that he took even out to Phoenix and raced. But then the thing that brought his series to a screeching halt, not that he had that many races, but was the gas shortage. And, you know, today in today's world, people just can't imagine what it was like sitting in line forever,
yeah.
You know, waiting for the gas truck to come in to fill the pumps so that you could then go sit in line.
My dad actually owned a gas station.
That's when I joined the United States Air Force. I figured I needed to go somewhere that could afford to pay me to do so.
Right. So then, see, you know, he couldn't very well have a traveling series with that. So it was kind of dormant there for a while, and then it came back as the All-Star Circuit of Champions. And he was actually a shareholder in the original group then.
You remember who won that first one, the 31 years ago?
Mm.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
It's on the wall.
Yes.
One Wolfgang, wasn't it?
No, I don't
boy,
think so.
He had a long winning streak going.
Yeah,
here.
He did.
Yeah,
and some of the and even local guys had some winning streaks at times, but most of the time it's been some outsiders that usually manage to steal it.
That's right. You know, if I look through my papers, I might be able to find that.
What a big deal! I just thought maybe it'd be a name that would pop out at us or something.
This year will be the ninth year of the King of the 360s.
That's exactly right, and you all can remember when we started that one, and.
That was started by a promoter of all promoters at times, it seems, Stan Cullen.
Stan Cullen, that's exactly right. And he had some ideas, you know, that Glenn Donnelly had helped him with. And that and the following year, then we started the Open Wheel Modifieds. And
but the King of the 360s kicked off, and his intent there was not only to celebrate the 25th year that was coming up in front of him a few years away, but he would, if the guys returned each year, they could get a $1,000 added bonus for every year they kept coming back.
Boy,
loyalty bonus.
You remember that, don't
the loyalty
you?
Yes, bonus. I remember a lot of that too.
Oh,
and so those guys were, I mean, they were really starting to come then. But in the next 2 years, it packed in, I think we went from like 36 and 40 car counts to 80 car counts. because guys were coming back because that was a, not only could they get out of the snow, but they could also make this extra money.
Is that loyalty? Is that what the
loyalty bonus?
Loyalty bonus.
We sat on the porch and listened and learned about the loyalty bonus.
See, that's probably how we got up to as high as 27 cars starting the final night,
right,
because of those guys that were added. Yeah. If they were past
champions and so forth, he kept trying to make sure they got to run.
And while we're talking about that, going back, I did find that first winner was Paul Pitzer.
Paul Pitzer.
Paul Pitzer.
He ran one time with a wing and one time without, and he won both of those. So he made a name for himself. I remember he was he had a job with the phone company. He used to climb the poles, and then he did, you know, he didn't get enough excitement on his job, so he thought he'd try sprint car racing.
Race a sprint car.
Yes. But, you know, like we're talking about this King of the 360s coming up. We played it to the hilt, didn't we? We had the crown with the jewels.
Oh, yeah,
and
those
that.
Guys, I mean, they actually, they'd tell you they hated it, but, boy, they wanted to wear that crown.
Everybody they wants that crown. That crown.
You know, and the first winner was the tall Texan, the quiet one, Gary Wright.
Gary Wright.
And he won that. And then, of course, there was a young boy in the field by the name of Ronald Laney.
And he just snookered Gary Wright. Gary Wright had laid back. He was like a lap and a half ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
And thought he could take it easy. And
it was so funny when Ronald, after that first race, after the first King of the 360s, Ronald saw that crown, and he was taking it all in, and he was looking at the pageantry and everything and all the exposure, you know, that Gary got from that. And he said to me later, he says, "Ms. Jean," he says, "I'm coming back, and I'm going to win me one of those crowns."
That's right. He has an awesome, awesome, because when he rolled in, because he didn't realize even in the race that he had won it. He saw the checkered flags but thought, "Oh, God, they started last lap, but I was already going." He didn't know that he had gotten there and won it. He really didn't, because he rolled down the front stretch, and they went, "You go to the winner's circle, go to the winner's." And he screamed out, you know, "You got to be shitting me." I could hear him through his helmet. And it was funny as heck. But he got in there, and they brought Checkers, the dog, out. And it's just an awesome, awesome situation.
He had a boxer dog, remember, that wore the checkered neckerchief around his neck. Yes.
And he was calling his dad. He was crying, talking to his dad, saying, "Dad, I did it. I actually came and won this thing."
Probably awesome. One of the toughest things at East Bay, though, was when we lost Ron.
Yes, but I wanted to tell you one more pleasant story about him. You know, that crown meant so much to him, and it wasn't just you know, words. He wore it, you know, out to the restaurant that night whenever they went out for food afterwards.
He didn't realize he had to give it back.
The next day, no, he kept it. yeah, it was his to keep. And the next day at the laundromat, there were sightings of Ronald Laney wearing his crown at the laundromat.
Well, they said he had one on his dashboard in his truck for a long time, so I guess that was it.
Yes, it was. It was his to keep. And then, of course, you know, he wanted to come back and win another one for, you know, in his dad's place. And that just didn't work out.
Right. I was working up there that year, and I can remember that hauler sitting out there by the front gate.
Yes, wasn't that eerie?
It was just, I'm getting goosebumps now just thinking about it, because, and everybody just paying homage to it as they went by, and it was just, and it was a rainy day, and it was just, and now it's the Ron Laney Memorial.
Yes, exactly. You know, that happened on opening night, I think, of the 360s that year, and we kind of wrestled with, you know, what to do, how to honor him. And of course we put out the release right away and got it all worded correctly and everything. Those of us who saw it happen, it really didn't look like that bad of an accident.
It was, you know, like Earnhardt.
Yes, you're exactly right.
It didn't look that bad.
Yeah, I wasn't there, but there were people that told me, said, "Man, I expect him to climb out of it any second."
We've all seen cars come apart.
We've seen much more horrendous wrecks up into the fence, out of the ballpark, and the guys just come bopping back in, but it didn't happen that night.
So the way we did it, we decided to honor him with a memorial race dedicated to him, and we did that on that Saturday night. So the big one at the end, you know, the 40-lapper is going to be and carries his name as the Ronald Laney Memorial.
Who won that first one? Was it Chad?
The very first Ronald Laney Memorial was Jason Sides.
Because I remember, whoever it was, I just remember that they had a tear in their eye when they got to Victory Lane and stuff because of the how hard that week had been on everybody.
Yes.
To go through all of that. And then, Ronald Laney was well-liked. I mean, this kid was well-liked by everybody.
Everybody liked Ron Laney.
Anywhere he was, I remember him calling me on the radio show. He'd call me while he's driving down the road on a Saturday early when my old show was on, and he'd be going, "Hey, Bill, I need some luck, man. I'm going into Oklahoma or wherever. And I've just had a heck of a night last night," and blah, blah, blah. And then he would tell me about, you know, some guy helped. I helped somebody last week at such and such a place, and they beat me, you know, because he gave him a front end or a front axle, I think it was, and stuff like that. And he was just known for that. He had so much extra parts as it was, but, I mean, he would just take it out and hand it to you.
Had a hell of a hauler, I'm telling you.
Yes.
He'd just take it out and hand it to you. He let people use motors and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Just unbelievable stuff he'd do.
Mm-hmm. He was so anxious to get to East Bay, though, and his daddy didn't have anybody to send along with him in the truck that time, and he and Checkers took off. And, you know, just kept the wheels turning and got to East Bay. And when he got to East Bay, he was so happy. And Stanley and everybody else went back and talked to him, you know. He just wanted to be there.
Is that the year he got there on Sunday evening?
I think.
Yeah, he got there Sunday evening. He didn't have to race till like Tuesday.
Yeah, I think. And then, you know, locally, Sport Allen.
Right, that was a big one.
Yes, in 03. And then in 04, the final night did rain out, but I did talk with statisticians and everything, and they said if everybody was there and you got, two of the three nights in and so on, then it counts. And so that's how we're up to the sixth for this year. Chad Kemenaw won it in 05, and then, of course, Terry McCarl won it last year.
Hopefully we're going to talk to Chad here in a few minutes.
Yeah, Chad Kemenaw, we'll talk to him and do all of that and get to talk a whole lot more, I'm sure, as we get to talk to pick Mr. Jimmy's brain.
This year, you know, like last year, we got the wingless, the 410s, the 360s. So you got the Fast Lane Challenge.
Yes. Fast Lane Challenge is Fast Lane Apparel is a trailer that's set up at East Bay. Kim and Greg Stewart have that apparel business and real sharp T-shirts, you know, for all the events at East Bay. And they decided that they would like to do something in racing that's almost similar to golf and things like that, where they give, they go out on a limb and give a bonus, a big bonus for somebody that can pull off something that's pretty much impossible. And, of course, there's, like a high-risk insurance company involved also. But last year, the bonus was $50,000 if one driver, the same driver, could win all three of the final nights. You know, all there are 10,000 to win events as it is.
Right.
But, you know, you win the 10,000 and then you go on to the next one. That gives you, you're about one-third up the ladder, you know, of getting the whole thing done. And then Terry McCarl came very close
last year.
He did. And that earned him a $5,000 bonus. But now this year, it's upped to $75,000.
So a person could walk away with $105,000.
Yes. Oh, you're good with math. Yeah. You're good.
Just got to win all the nights. $105,000.
On the Saturday night, still 10?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure if
that starts in a couple of days.
Yep.
Yes, they're going to practice tomorrow night, and then racing starts in earnest on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And just in case everybody doesn't realize, it's a complete show every night.
Yeah, you got to come early.
You see every car race every night.
Yep. And every car does qualifying every night, and every car, it's pretty awesome.
Well,
the last
night's
the only one they're locked in.
In a way, Bill, it's the ASCS group, and they don't do time trials per se. So you qualify through heat races.
So they draw pills to get the
Yes,
heat?
Okay. Yes. And then, of course, the big thing with them is passing points. So, it's a little bit confusing, but it makes it exciting for the fans because those guys
have to
be on it all the time. They're trying to constantly earn more points by passing the car ahead of them.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You know, a lot of people don't know about your son, Eddie. Mm-hmm. He's a sprint car racer.
Yes, he's a pretty good sprint car racer, if I do say so myself. Our local track, we're from Western Pennsylvania, and our closest track to us locally is Lernerville Speedway.
Right.
And they traditionally have had a pretty good World of Outlaws sprint car show several times during the year. And we were lucky enough about three years ago, to win when Steve Kinzer was there racing, Sammy Swindell, you know. All the big dogs. And the lead changed 5 times during that race.
Wow.
Yeah. And the fans, you know, like the owner of the track told me, usually with 5 laps to go or 10 laps to go, you know, if you have a big crowd, they start going for the exits because they want to get out on the highway and so on. And the owners told me that nobody left the stands, you know, because one of their own. Even people who boo us on a regular night were cheering that night.
That's
the way that went.
What was it like to be not only nominated but then inducted to the Sprint Car Hall of Fame, as important as sprint cars have been to your life?
Well, yes, that is important. And I've always felt that, you know, just like everybody on this panel wants to give something back to racing, you know, so every time there's a benefit or we do auctions at different places, you know, you're there, you volunteer, you spend your time, and you just try to give something back to the sport that's given so much fun and entertainment to all
exactly,
of us.
Yeah.
It's great.
That must have been really cool, though. To have that happen, and I think that would have been
awesome. Actually,
I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, actually, I served on the board of directors, you know, for 4 years, and right, you know, almost at the beginning. And you know, I don't know how many people in your audience have been to Knoxville for the Knoxville Nationals, but ever since we were trying to build the Hall of Fame, that was, you know, first it was going to be downtown. And then that fell through, and we had a fundraiser for that. Then it was going to be across the street, and we had a fundraiser for that. And then that fizzled out. So when we finally picked the spot, which is off turn two at Knoxville, when we finally picked that spot, I said, well, I believe in life after death because this thing has been dead, you know, 2 times so far. It didn't make it, but this time it did.
That's awesome.
Hey, Bill, why don't we take a quick break, and we'll get Clyde up here. Jeannie, stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Oh, man, we'll be back with some more great racing talk radio from Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill. Make sure you make plans to come by and see us on a Tuesday night if you're coming down for the Winter Nationals. Make a plan to come on by and say hi. We'll look forward to talking to you on the other side. Clyde Poole, sprint car owner and extraordinaire, will be with us, and we'll be right back.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call.
Evergreen.
We're smoking tonight from the Snook River Grill, Real Racing USA.
We are back for sure, and I'm looking.
What you looking for?
Nothing. Just trying to make sure I had all my numbers right, man. We are back at the Snook River Grill. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to Miss Jean Lynch, the queen of sprint car racing, as I call her, but I know she probably hates that. Anyway, we are glad to have her here. It's awesome to have a Hall of Fame member in your midst, period.
I would call her the Empress of
there you
sprint
go.
Car racing.
I was going to say Guru, and I figured she wouldn't go for that one either.
The boss.
What kind of nickname, what kind of nickname have you ever had, though? Somebody had to have had one on you over these years.
No, 1 year I was working a race of champions up at the Poconos, and your audience certainly would probably be surprised, but they've probably never seen cars like that. It was the asphalt modifieds, you know, the Richie Evans type.
Right.
And let's see, we started off at Langhorne, and then we went over to Trenton and then up to the Poconos. And by the time I was up the Poconos, I was meeting, you know, some new media-type people and so on. And then pretty soon somebody said, what's a girl like you doing in a business like this? Because, you know, it was relatively new for women to be so involved in racing and be in the pits and so on.
Wow.
You probably remember a time when you weren't allowed in the
pits. Women weren't allowed in the pits for a long time.
Yes, I can remember that. An old, well-known track in the Pittsburgh area, Heidelberg Raceway, that used to race everything from AMA motorcycles to big late model races. One year, the ownership or a fella had leased the track, and he had to jump through hoops in order to get me into the pits. And I was in there to line up the drivers for interviews for the reporters that were coming in to cover the big race.
Oh, wow. Well, I tell you what, we've got a guy sitting beside you there that is well-known by East Bayians. East Bay, what do you call him? East Bayians?
Race fans at East Bay?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, that'll work. Yeah, race fans at East Bay. Clyde Poole. Clyde Poole, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy. Pretty good.
Now, did you get noticed first for all your wild paint jobs?
Yeah, kind of. I figured that was it. I used to do a lot of custom work in the shop. And
I got a couple pictures of a couple trailers you did.
Oh, wow. He's got some awesome stuff. Yep. He's traveling around. You coming back? You've decided. You said you decided in the 11th hour, but Greg Leonard would tell you it was like the 11:45, but that you're going to go 360 racing, but you're going to go to the wingless race, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you're going to take a 360 to run against the 410s.
Actually, we've got a 383, but I don't have a 410. We're kind of on
close enough.
Yeah,
close
we're,
enough
we're
for Greg.
We're on a hand-me-down racing budget, but you know, little Greg's got talent, and his dad's real good at setting up the car, and the boy's just unbelievable. I was more than happy.
There's no doubt about that.
People, when I retired.
The people at East Bay and even Miss Lynch can attest to some of our local racers are pretty flashy, and they get the job done. And Greg Leonard is one of them. That boy can drive the wheels off of a car, and he'll stick it in where you don't think he should put it, but he'll make it work. And it's just pretty awesome. And joining us by phone right now is Greg Leonard. Greg, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Bill?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. How's your son? I hear he's down under the weather a little.
Yeah, he was sick the other day throwing up, but we took him to the doctor today, and he's feeling a lot better.
All right, man. Everybody's glad to hear that. But everybody's going to be really excited to know that you're going to be able to compete at East Bay in both the 360s and the 410s. So that's going to be an awesome situation for you.
No 360 this year.
Well, you're going to be okay. You're going to be in the 410 wingless sprint with a 383.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll get it right. Anyway, it's kind of cool. How much wingless sprint racing on dirt have you done?
Last year, that's it.
That's what I thought.
Yep, so, that's it.
So you got three races under your belts, three nights of racing.
Yes, sir. Well, I tell you what, I learned a lot from last year. That's going to be totally different that I can use to my advantage this year as far as how the car reacts and all stuff. So this year's more of a go out and try to win the race.
Well, that'll be an awesome situation. Now, Clyde, this 383 and the wing combination you guys have and your background of being, you know, you guys have raced so long in your own cars and now together at East Bay, that could be the equalizer that helps you keep up with the 410s, no doubt.
I certainly hope so. It's just hard getting enough horsepower under Greg. He can put her to the floor no matter how much horsepower you have. We can build the best motor in the world. He's begging for more horsepower.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
No. Greg,
see where he's at tonight, don't you? He's over there enjoying the spotlight and the radio show, and I'm down here changing the motor out of the car.
Yeah. Oh, there's the pit crew.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the pit crew he was talking about.
The driver's the pit crew.
That's why I called Clyde up. Says Greg told me, says, well, I also got to go. My son's sick, but I also got to go work on this motor. I said, well, let me call Clyde. Mm-hmm. Clyde, what are you doing to me? And he says, oh, I'll come in his place. He's got to put the motor in. Anyway.
It's worth it, though, right, Greg?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, we are still unsure about Mulligan's car, 410. I'm supposed to run it, but I've heard he told me tonight that there's some complications on getting his motor in. So I don't know if I'm going to be running the 410s, the wing show still or not. But now I got to thank Clyde for coming through and allowing us to want to run the non-wing show this year again.
Well, that's cool. Maybe Clyde will just throw the wing on it. You guys give it a shot. Who knows?
Hey, listen, I got to ask you, Greg, going to the Winter Nationals, any portion thereof, whether it been the 360s or the 410s or whatever you're going to do at the Winter Nationals, does it still kind of get your dander up and get you a little nervous because there's such a big stage to play on here that you got a lot of people looking compared to the regular Saturday night show at East Bay?
Oh, yeah. There ain't no driver out there that can say they ain't nervous in going to a big race. And I don't care how many times you run a car or whatever, you're still going to get nervous. No matter small race, big race, it don't matter. You get a little bit nervous when you go out there to run.
Clyde, do you get nervous with the car being on the track and you're not in it? Somebody else is driving it for you?
More nervous than I ever did when I was driving. My brother tells me, I see Greg, Greg, don't go through that hole, my God. My brother says, shut up, you'd have been right there too.
Ms. Litch, now you've seen Greg and some of the local drivers, and they hold their own pretty good against the guys coming in from
up
north.
Yes, they do. That's what you call home track advantage. And, you know, all the travelers, you know, they pay attention to what the locals are doing, their setups, how they drive the track, the marks they hit as they're going around.
And stripped out.
Yeah. How many times, Greg, have you actually told another driver from outside the state of Florida about the Tide chart?
I ain't said nothing to him.
Local drivers do not talk about the Tide coming
in.
They do not talk about it.
They don't. And they hate it when we talk about
it. How come the track's getting so greasy?
Why was he running the top so fast? Now he's on the bottom. He's even faster. What's the deal?
The Tide came in.
It's funny.
Yeah, the guys that come down from up north, though, it don't take them long to figure this place out. And they've got a pretty good handle on it.
Hey, who do you think is one of those odds-on guys to kind of really keep an eye on? Maybe he's a buddy of yours, help you out over the years or something. Who's the guy that you like to pay attention to from up north that does the racing down here?
You know, Chad Kimmenall, he's been fairly fast down here. And he's not what you call him an oddball or nothing like that. He's always been fast. But I don't know. It's going to be tough this year. They expect 80 cars, and anybody can win, you know. So it's going to be... I really don't have a favorite person or a person to look for. I just go out there to watch good racing.
Well, I know that you'll be right in there with them, buddy, giving it all you got. As long as the car will hold up and the wheels stay on and the throttle stays down, you'll be there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to give it heck this year. We're gonna dang sure try it.
Now, have you ever exited East Bay Raceway Park in the car?
As far as flipping-wise?
Yeah, did you go through the wall once and out the top there?
No.
Okay, I thought that was Smith, but I couldn't remember if it was you or him.
No, and knock on wood, I've never really flipped and tore up a race car where I couldn't bring it back the next week.
Wow. That make you smile, Clyde?
Yes.
That's pretty good. Clyde's known to tore up a few.
Yes.
How's the limited program going now? You guys have had some pretty good results over the year that I've been paying attention to when it comes to the limited racing every other week or whatever they're doing at East Bay now. How's that been for you?
It was going good. Oh, Clyde, it's a sore subject with him. So now he brought the monster out of the closet. So I'll let him elaborate on that deal.
What's up, Clyde?
It was a rough year. It's hard to believe you win 10 races out of 18 and you don't win the championship. But things happen. It's part of racing. Got to deal with it.
Hey, this bolt stripped, Rob.
You won 10 races?
10 races out of 18, yes, sir.
And didn't win the championship?
And didn't win the championship. We won't go there.
How does that happen?
Talk to the racetrack about that one.
That's why I was told not to go there.
We can talk to the racetrack.
All right.
Talk
to
the tech mount. There you go.
All right, Greg, we're going to let you get back to changing that motor, brother.
All right, thanks.
Hey, get near the computer and crank it up. We're going to talk to Chad Kimmenall here in a minute.
All right,
we'll see what he thinks of Greg Leonard.
Have a good one.
Take care, buddy. I hope the son and the wife are feeling better soon.
I appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll see you.
All right, bye-bye.
So you won 10,
Greg Leonard,
8 though. Out of 10 races.
10 out of 18.
10 out of 18.
10 out of 18, yes, sir.
What's Greg's nickname? Still Sticks, right?
Sticks, yes, sir.
10 out of 18, and where'd you finish in the points?
We finished second place by 2 points. We were...
Go ahead. Talk about the final night of racing. That's all that counts.
Yeah, they cut the last race by 5 laps for some reason. I don't know what it was, but they said they didn't want to mess with the points because of the... So they made a guy not count that would have gave us 2 more points because he had the wrong tires on the front of his car, after they gave him permission. Then they cut the race 5 laps. I thought that messed with the points too, but I guess not.
Ouch.
All right, man, I thought you didn't want to be on this show. We tried to talk you into being on this show.
Don't even try to drag her in. Anyway,
I can see why she doesn't want to be.
Yeah. It's racing.
Yeah. Just racing. So it's very hard to swallow, I'm sure, but I'm sure that you'll come back and get your own because you guys are just too good as a pair. I mean, you guys, the team partnership is just too good.
He's a heck of a driver. It hurt me more for him than it did for me because he worked really hard this year. We had a little conflict going on, but he was a professional all year with the exception of one rough night when they tore down our motor. We all got a little bit loud, and that's what costed us the championship one night. But our motor was legal when they tore it down.
Oh, there's no doubt. Hey, you guys, you ain't got to cheat it. You get it squared away and get it running good through the corners is what counts. That's what's awesome.
Hey, Bill, why don't we keep these guys here for just a second? Let's put last year's World of Outlaws Rookie of the Year on the line here with us at the same time.
Well,
then you can ask Jeannie that question that was just coming out there.
All right. Chad Kimenaugh, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good.
Where are you tonight?
Right now I'm just about 135 miles from the Ford line.
All right. On your way. Here he comes in his big chariot.
Did you take your coat off yet?
Actually, you got to take jacket off for a little while. So that was good. We stopped up Pro Shocks and
getting warmer as you come.
Shocks there and
getting warm.
That snow stuff.
Hey, listen. How cool was it to be the Rookie of the Year in the World of Outlaws?
I thought it was, quite an accomplishment for the whole race team. You know, it was quite a list of drivers' names on that rookie list. So to get my name added to that was really neat, really special.
Well, I think it's awesome, man, and it serves a notice that this year they better pay attention because you could be digging in their pockets.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, last year we ran into quite a bit of stretch of bad luck there for a while, but I really wanted to try to get that Rookie of the Year deal, and we got that handled. So all in all, it's a good year, and hopefully this year, we got new race team and everything. So hopefully we can get off to a good start down here in Florida and take off and have a good season.
Well, that's always nice to kick off the season from Florida, but we've got one of your best proponents and people that thinks you're one of the best drivers in the country, probably, Jeannie Lynch. Miss Lynch is sitting here with us, and she's come down to talk with us a little bit tonight and talk about the East Bay run and stuff. You guys have seen each other a number of times over the years, I bet.
Yeah, Jeannie's watched me from the time I used to run around and be a nuisance in the pit area to now driving race cars. I've known her for quite many years. She knows my dad real well. My dad used to have race cars, and go back quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. Right, and especially through all your championships with the All-Stars. 4 years there, you're king of the hill there, that's for sure. And speaking of king, wasn't it nice that in 05, you were the surprise winner there of the at that time, the 4th annual Ronald Laney Memorial, and you were the king of the 360s, and you got the crown and the $10,000 check in Victory Lane. Wasn't that nice?
Yeah, it was. That was a really neat, win. I actually got to know Ronald there before he had the mishap there, and we became pretty good friends. So that trophy and that king set there, that's kind of special. But that was a really neat win. We kind of went down there with a guy from Canada, and kind of a storybook thing, you want to go down and try to do good for somebody, and we built the car in the shop and go down to win it. That was really neat.
Is it that hard to win a King of the 360s event at the first of the year because everybody's starting with sometimes new equipment and you're trying to figure it out and trying to get maybe a new team member or two working well together? All those things come into play?
Oh yeah, that King of the 360 deal down here at East Bay is really tough. You get everybody, from 410s, 350s, from whatever, they all show up there and get quite a field of cars, and Lady Luck's got to be on your side for a couple of days to get yourself in position to try to win the thing. And a couple of years ago, like Jeannie said, we were fortunate enough to do that.
It's really good to win that King of the 360s. Now, what's it like racing down in Australia, though? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, down in Australia is pretty neat. It's really, really different. The people are just absolutely awesome. They make you feel at home even though you're that far away. But the racetrack is, they're they're quite a bit different, you know, they're quite a bit smaller in comparison to what we would call, say, you know, a normal-sized racetrack. The racetracks down there are so small and so flat, but, you know, it's the same for everybody, and it's really, really exciting, and, the you know, the fans down there are just unbelievable. I mean, they really pile in the fans, and it's really something special down there when you hear the fans responding. Makes you want to go back there.
That's what I was going to say, was the fans right. treat you guys like gods when you're there, it seems to me. They don't have a very long season. And they sure take care of you.
Oh, they do. I mean, they just go way out and above and beyond, and, you know, they treat you so well. Half the time, I think you probably forget about what you're doing down there if you're not actually at the racetrack, because the people treat you so well.
Do you go like extra days early to get adjusted to the timing and so forth and get your body back into sync?
Yeah, well, when I went over there the first 3 years I was over there, I actually went over there and, you know, got to spend a couple of days and then go to the racetrack. And last year I went over just for a little over a week and flew in and had a day to get ready. And then, you know, we raced and came right back home. So that was kind of tiring there a little bit, you know, just your body going in different directions. But yeah, it takes you a little bit, it seems like. And the trip over doesn't bug me too bad, but when you come back, it seems like it sure catches you pretty quick.
Now, what do you think is the draw down there in Australia for the sprint cars? I mean, all over the world, there's different racing that people like and stuff, but sprint cars are huge down there.
I think they're just such, you know, the people down there just like racing so well, and they just don't get to see it very much. So, you know, over here they can just see some kind of race about year-round, and that's just not the case over there. And when they finally do take off and start racing, it's like, I don't know, it's almost bigger than the sport, the fans. I mean, they support this stuff so well that it's kind of almost unbelievable to go over there and actually see how they back the sport of sprint car racing. It's actually really neat.
Well, I know that you're headed south. You're getting closer and closer to Florida. You're coming to East Bay for the Winter Nationals, and you're going to do some time at New Smyrna, or Volusia, excuse me, Volusia Speedway for your Nationals program. How important is it to have a decent run, so to speak, get you know, a little bit of money in the coffers maybe, or get yourself ready for that year-long run with the World of Outlaws, because there's a lot of shows in that game.
Yeah, it is. You know, the World of Outlaws deal is tough. After doing it last year, you get a whole new respect for somebody that actually starts and finishes it. You know, it's quite a long season, but I really, really enjoyed it. And when you come to Florida, you hope you get out of there kind of unscathed and maybe make a little bit of money, have some good luck, and just get off to a good start, you know, without getting a bunch of stuff tore up.
How many? There's still 104 shows or something like that?
Yeah, we'll probably race pretty, you know, easily 100 races this year without even really trying. So,
How can you not get sick? How can you make every one of them, Chad? How can you not get sick or have a bad day at the, you know, buffet and get something going on that you just got? You can make every one of those races. That's amazing.
No calling in sick, right?
Yeah, I don't know. You don't think about that. Even if you are sick or whatever happens, you just find a way of getting there and getting the job done and move on to the next one.
Moving around from a smaller racing series in a regional kind of racing series and going to the World of Outlaws, how much more time does it take for those sponsors and things that you always hear about happening?
That is something that's definitely different, you know, from racing around the All-Star deal, and by no means is anything negative about the All-Stars. You know, it's a good deal, but the Outlaw deal is just, it's like going from walking to running, and it's so much more, I don't know what you want to say, much more like business or run more professional or whatever, but trying to attract a sponsor is probably the hardest thing about this game. And, you know, it's not easy. It doesn't seem to get any easier. But when you're out here, hopefully this TV package you put together will maybe bring a little bit of help to that part of the game, because that's definitely the hardest part.
And the TV package is going to be a big deal this year, because they're moving from the Outdoor Network to ESPN2 this year. So there's going to be a lot of coverage.
You know, really good for the sport. You know, hopefully, like I say, maybe just nothing else draw a little bit of more attention to what the sprint car races actually are. You know, they're really, really exciting to watch. And, you know, nothing against NASCAR, but our race just doesn't take 3-4 hours, and, you know, it's pretty action-packed.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Sprint car racing and sprint car fans are a world of their own. Chad, who's some of the sponsors on your race car that help you get through the season?
This year we got, you know, some new people. We Premier Pallets, Pete Grove owning the thing, put together a new team for us, and we've got a lot of pieces. I don't know, got to remember all the new names now.
This is your first shot at it, bro.
Attica Speedway is actually on there, which is through the UUI team that I've raced with for 10 years. John Borges came along to help this deal. We got K&N air filters came on, J&J race cars, Hoosier tires. There's just a whole host of people that kind of went together and make this thing work. We got two good sponsors from Stage 8. We got a new thing this year. Everyone's heard of the Mafia Motorsports. We're actually a new line with Mafia Motorsports. Got Twisted Fisher. It's out there. It's something that I think the fans are going to really enjoy, and it's a pretty neat thing.
When you come to East Bay, do you get a lot of time to interact with the fans? And I know you do some autographs and stuff when they come back to the trailers after the races and stuff, but during the racing, is there time to actually, you know, realize that there's that many fans sitting there watching you, or get a chance to do an autograph, talk to a fan or two?
We try to. Actually during the races, I think we're all thinking so hard. We're all there for the same thing, and that's try to win. But, you know, we never shy away a fan, you know. Without the fans, we don't get to do this job. So you try to pay as much attention as you can and try to make all the kids happy. And if the kids are happy, hopefully the parents come back and watch us do this.
Well, I'm just trying to prepare you, because when you come to East Bay Raceway Park this year, you are the reigning rookie of the year from the World of Outlaws, and your trailer is going to change the number of people that come to visit you.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I mean, hopefully that 2006 rookie of the year for the World of Outlaws will bring us some fans. You know, like I say, we got this new apparel thing with this Twisted Fisher, and I think this is going to be really neat. They got a lot of neat stuff to offer, and it should draw the fans around.
Chad, this is Jean, and I wanted to know, are you bringing the same car, the same chassis setup and so on, that you won this race with before?
Yeah, I mean, whenever we come down to Florida, we always start off with a basic thing. You know, we're going to go out tomorrow and probably make a few laps just because we, you know, I say we've had Eagle race cars for so long now, and Pete Grove and Jack Elam are really good friends, and we didn't have a problem with that. You know, that was the only request he had, is that we had J&J race cars. So we'll come out tomorrow, and we'll make a few laps, and, you know, my brother will do whatever he wants to do, and we'll try to get a couple laps underneath of us and see if we can tell difference what's good, what's bad, and hopefully we can go out and try to win this thing.
Chad, didn't I see you down at the Florida Golf Classic that we do for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame? We call it the In Memory of Kevin Gobrek and Ronald Laney. Didn't I see you down there golfing?
Oh, yeah. We'll be there again. We always go try to play golf whenever we can. Not that we're good, but we just have fun and laugh at each other.
Yes, you know, that's at the same place again. It's at Summerfield Crossing Golf Club, and it's on Friday, February 2nd. We'll try to get you some more competition this year, but I know you're a good golfer.
We have a lot of fun. Yeah, we'll definitely be there, though.
Maybe I'll have to come out of retirement and take after him a little bit.
Only play on the small golf course.
That's right. Hey, listen, Chad, we want to thank you, man, for your time tonight. I hope you be careful on the road. Take care. I know there's probably a little bit of rain out there in spotches and places, but keep coming south and make sure that you drop by and see us, especially after you win that Ronald Laney Memorial 360 this Saturday night. You're going to have to call us next Tuesday again, because you'll be a little bit happier.
Yeah, we'll be talking to you as the year progresses here. During the Winter Nationals, we'll probably get to speak to you again, and certainly during the year.
We'll go up and see him at Volusia.
Absolutely.
There you go.
And we follow the World of Outlaws.
Right up to that championship. All right, Chad, thanks a lot, bro.
Go ahead, Chad.
I said thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, no problem, man. We appreciate you taking time.
Okay.
Chad Kiminaw, ladies and gentlemen, the reigning rookie of the year from the World of Outlaws. He is on his way to East Bay Raceway Park right this
morning. I got a question
for
Clyde Poole. Why'd you shave your sideburns, man?
That's a good question.
Yeah, Elvis.
I had a nickname. I had several nicknames, Elvis and the One-Armed Bandit, because I always drove with one hand. And when I quit driving, I come back 2 years later and tried to make it after my accident where I fell out of the building. And
now, when you fell out of the building, they actually shaved them for you, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I thought that's what part of it was.
I was pretty bad. It put me in a coma and broke my back and broke every rib on the right.
Okay, let me help catch Jack up before he gets a bug in his mouth. Jack, he has a two-story, he has a big barn kind of building that he does most of his work in his race car. He's got a second story that's almost like a hayloft. You can climb up to it, but it's kind of wide open, and he kind of backed off the edge of that there and did a number on himself.
Yeah. I remember the first time I ever went to East Bay Raceway Park, walking through the pits, the very first time I was ever there. The thing I remember most about it was your trailer was the most colorful, painted-up trailer. It was beautiful. And I remember I stood there and took pictures from, I still have them, from all kinds of angles. It was my first memory of going to East Bay. It was pretty cool there.
We've actually won some contest out in Las Vegas and didn't even know about it until 2 years later with the trailer.
Yeah.
A photo artist took some pictures and sent them to Las Vegas, and we won first prize and some overall photo shooting and the artwork. And the guy that did 80% of the trailer, his name is Samson, and the guy's just unbelievable. It comes from his heart. Yeah. Not from his hand. The guy's he's the best I've ever seen.
It was beautiful work, no doubt.
Anything special for this year's car? I mean, you going to do anything kind of neat and a little splashy? Come on. Well, you've always been known to drive out. As soon as you drive out on the track, everybody goes, oh, look at this year's paint job. Kind of new graphics or something?
Actually, this year is going to be back with the same scheme on the car. Greg, everybody's been beating me up on it, wanting me to change the scheme. But I kind of fell in love with that one and been sticking with it. You know how that goes.
All right, man. Well, I know that it's an awesome, awesome-looking car and trailer driving down the road, much less any other time you get to go to Victory Lane, of course. But it's kind of neat to be the local guy that gets to go out there and kind of slay Goliath, hopefully, this next week and a half here. And we'll look forward to seeing that 383 kick those 410s.
There's another guy you folks know.
You need to do this intro, Jack.
Well, I'm telling you. There's one guy out there, and you know, people who do I do websites, so that's what I do for, take up most of my time doing. And when you want to talk about sprint cars and now dirt late models, there's only one site that matters, and that's hoseheads.com. Alan, how you doing? Alan Holland.
Hey, Jack, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Man, how did this concept come about in its beginning?
Hoseheads. My website?
Yeah, Hoseheads.
You're a famous guy, man. You're famous.
Yeah, I don't feel famous.
World famous.
Yeah, well, I was just a fan. Like, everybody starts out in this business, you know, whether you're a driver or a car owner or you and I, you know, we're just fans sitting in the stands. And I just decided, it was probably almost 10 years ago now, but I decided to try messing around a website. And I guess it was early enough that there weren't a lot of them around. And it just kept going from there. You know, I did it for fun, and it turned into a business.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we know how that goes.
Yeah.
It goes from a hobby to like a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-a-year job.
Yeah, but now you spend your daylight hours doing it. Jack's a mushroom. He stays in the dark and does it all night long. But it's an awesome, awesome site. A lot of people visit you to see what's going on around the country and in the world of sprint car racing and stuff. What's been some of the latest additions to the site? What are some of the new things that have happened for 2007?
Well, I haven't added a whole lot to 2007, actually. I added the late models a couple of years ago, and then I've started doing some modified, covering some modified racing, dirt modified. But the modified contingent, they just don't seem to get the information out as quick and as you know, as timely as what the sprint and late model guys do. So the modified site just, I'm not really going too strong on that. But the sprint and late models have been going really good. Sprint's been going for the longest time, though.
Yeah, you know, Alan, one of the first live coverages on the Internet I ever saw for a race was one of your guys doing, it might have been you, doing the updates at East Bay.
Oh, yeah. One of the, that's how I ended up starting the late model site. I was there for the sprints, and I was doing updates, and I was there for the late model, so I said, well, I'll do some late model updates, man, and the late model people just thought that was the greatest thing on the planet. And now, you know, updates aren't as important most of the time because there's usually audio or something going on, you know. Even the Dirt Motorsports has, you know, television coverage on the internet. They have video coverage, and there's all types of things. So updates like that aren't all that important any longer.
Yeah, but they're still pretty important. But can you even imagine? Did you even imagine that this was going to go where it went? I'm looking at the site right now with all these ads running on it, and it's unbelievable that from the Chili Bowl on the Gurdy engines. I mean, there's worldwide ads running everywhere. You got constant updates from today, yesterday, from all over the country in Australia. It's unbelievable, man.
Oh yeah, it's incredible. I have to thank all the people that have all the contributors to my website, all the columnists, photographers, and all. And if it wasn't for all those guys, and even the advertisers. I just added a new advertiser today from up in Pennsylvania. The guy that sponsors the Pennsylvania Point Fund up there for the drivers. He came on with Speed Dog, eating some kind of paddle or something that they sell and stuff. And it's just always somebody new wants to see if they can sell something on the internet. It's a good deal, and a lot of times it works out really nice for them.
And you got a picture of Donnie Schatz from Saturday night winning down in Australia.
Yeah, I know. That's a cool thing, too. I have people down there to send me stuff, too. Donnie won down there, and I guess he's still down there. I guess we won't see him until later on in February racing, but he's on a heck of a tear, you know, winning the Outlaw Championship and then winning the 50,000 down there in Australia. And he's going to have a tough go this year, though. There'll be a lot of teams back with him, though.
Hey, we got to find a good sponsor. Next year we'll send one Short Track America person and one Hosehead person down to cover the Australia racing.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be awesome.
They asked me a couple times if I wanted to go down, but I hate flying to begin with. Anything more than about to the West Coast, like 3.5-4 hours. And,
Man,
I don't know if I want to do whatever it is, 17, 20 hours in a plane. It's just
it's a trip.
It entice me.
Hey, listen, with this site and as big as it has gotten and all the people that are involved to make it happen, do you find that you're losing some of the time you would have at the tracks because you're trying to keep up with so much behind the scenes, or do you still get to go to your local Saturday night track and kind of see what's really going on in short track racing?
No, I still get to go to races. What seems to happen is a lot of times in the middle of the season, in the middle of the summer, is sometimes I'm better off if I am at home at my own home computer somewhere with a high-speed connection or something, because it's easier to do the updates than if I'm driving somewhere far away and spending time on the road. If in the middle of summer, if I spend too much time away from the computer, then I can get way behind, hours and hours behind on getting the website updated with all the race results. So sometimes I'm better off if I'm closer to home, traveling an hour or two to a race or something than I am to driving 10 hours somewhere and, you know, staying in a motel or something. So sometimes I don't travel too far away because of that, because I try to put the website first.
Are you doing any plumbing?
No, I stopped that. I don't know when it was. I guess about 2001 I stopped the plumbing business.
So, Alan, speaking of traveling, when are you heading south to come down to Florida?
Oh, I'm already here. I have a girlfriend down here in Jupiter, so after I flew out of here to the Chili Bowl and then flew back to here.
Your girlfriend's from Jupiter? Are you from Mars?
I'm sitting in my truck right now in Jupiter. I'm sitting in a truck right now in Jupiter. What is like 72 well, degrees out or something?
Oh, yeah.
See, if we would have known that, we would have coerced you to come down here and be with us live. I had no idea you were down here.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm in Jupiter. It's still about a good 3 hours away from you guys. I'm south of you. I'm down by Palm Beach.
Yeah, where you plan on being next Tuesday night? Which track?
Up at East Bay. Let's see. Next Tuesday night is I'm coming up on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then I'm going to come back Sunday, and then come back up on.
Oh, see, yeah, your schedule is like crazy. I'm sure. Where you're going to go?
I'll be up at East Bay for what is it? First Monday night, the 4-10 and the non-wing, right? So it's Monday, Tuesday. Well, yeah, Monday night. I'll be up there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week.
What's the big story this year with the East Bay Winter Nationals, as far as from your perspective?
Wow, the big story. I don't know, but I was looking at the entries today, and in the non-wing starting, I mean, in the 360 series starting on Thursday night, man, there's some really interesting entries, you know. I know Lance DeWeese has entered in the 360s from Pennsylvania. He hasn't run a 360 much. Daniel Soski has an entry. You know, you got all the top 360 drivers like Gary Wright and Kenny Adams, and, you know, and then you got Jason Sides, and it's just incredible for the 360s, Terry McCarl. And I love it that they added non-wing last year. The non-wing racing last year was some of the best I've ever seen at East Bay. It's just incredible.
That's what Ms. Lynch sitting here with us is nodding her head and agreeing with you, and you've seen her and met her several times as you've checked in and out of the track, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Jean and I are good friends. I know her a while now, and she comes down here to Jupiter. She's the place down here where I'm at, and I run into her once in a while on the beach, but I'll see her Thursday when I get there.
Mm-hmm. Alan, two that are not on the list yet, probably, unless they went on late this afternoon, Jesse Hockett showed up, and he's going to run all three. He's going to run the 360s, the non-wing, and the 410s. And Tony Bruce Jr., you know, from Liberal, Kansas. He's going to run. Mm-hmm.
What was the first name you said?
Jesse Hockett.
Okay.
You know him.
Either one of them were on your list on the internet today when I was
No, they just, it. It was they updated, just, but. Right, they just pulled into the track late and they filled out their entries and they probably didn't get posted yet.
Okay, well, I noticed Fred Raymer's name is not on your 410 list either, and I know he'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can run to your computer now and update it again because you've just gotten two new names that you didn't have before.
Yeah, there you go. You're right.
And that's how fast you can get news and information between the two of us. How cool is that?
Right.
Hey, listen, with all this travel and stuff you do, though, it's amazing that you can stay on top of the site as well as you do. I take it you have some really good equipment to bring with you when you do this because it's not easy to keep a high-speed internet connection, even if you're in a hotel, going and keep all the information flowing between you and the people that are out there gathering information for you. Is there any special trick you do that you have, like special cell phones or something else that make it really work for you?
The only thing I did about the last year was got a cell card. I guess I shouldn't plug the company, but it's a hell of a cell card. It really, really, really works great.
Which one?
And what's that?
Which one was it?
It's Verizon. It's a Verizon cell card for my computer.
Cool.
And it connects broadband a lot of times when you're by a major city, and it's fast. And I can be riding down the highway and have my computer online sitting on the console of my truck. It's just incredible.
Oh, now let's explain that one to an officer when something happens. Oh, yes, sir, I was on my computer. Be careful.
Yeah, no, it's...
Hey, do you keep up on the NASCAR news at all?
Like that.
Do you kind of keep a big line and yourself personally keep up on the NASCAR news?
No. NASCAR, I'm not a fan of NASCAR at all.
I didn't think so. That's why I was bringing it up.
Yeah, I hate when I see some of the guys going there. But I mean, it's good for them, but I hate seeing like guys like J.J. Yaley went there recently. I used to love watching J.J. run a non-wing sprint car with the front end off the ground. And I mean, he was a heck of a driver. I just saw him at the Chili Bowl.
Sure was.
But I hate seeing some of those guys go there because I miss watching them race on the dirt. But you know, it helps them better their career. They make more money, and that's where they got to go.
Hey, Alan, we appreciate you taking time, buddy. I know that we'll get you back again,
and we'll catch up with you at East Bay. We're going to be doing some stuff up there, and also over Volusia, and we will certainly look you up and catch up with you.
Maybe drag you in here next Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll be there each night. Yep.
All right, man. You take care of yourself, Alan. We'll look forward to Hoseheads, ladies and gentlemen. Hoseheads.com. It's just that easy to find out more information about racing than you ever needed to know.
Okay, thanks.
How was that? Pretty good, huh?
Spelled thanks, like Alan. It sounds.
Alan Holland, ladies and gentlemen, the proprietor of Hoseheads.
Quick break, and then we're going to come back.
You've been dealing with Hoseheads for a long time, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, they've been around quite a while.
Long time. Long time.
Okay, I got the message.
That's right.
Hey, we're going to take another break. We'll be back with some more great guests. We've got Gene Crane lined up, Eddie Van Meter, and also Joe Lineberrier is going to be talking to us. So don't go far. We've also got Clyde Poole and Gene Lynch in-house. Oh, I almost forgot. Welcome Sergeant Gross, too. Hey, I just realized something. There's no reason we couldn't have Poole's collision and painting or whatever on here, too.
We give him a special deal.
We're back.
He's got a glow that grows sideburn.
They're back.
Hey, let's get the main man from Volusia. Cut to Volusia County
Speedway.
Speedway Park.
Is that what it's called?
No, it's Volusia Speedway
Joe, Park. What's it called?
He had it, Volusia Speedway Park.
Ah, there you
year.
Go.
We'll see what happens next year. Yeah, Volusia Speedway Park, you guys. And I tell you, since Dirt Motorsports acquired this place back in, I guess it was late 2005, it's been amazing, you know. Any time there's some change involved, certainly drivers, fans, and even staff members, you know, you get a little apprehensive. You don't know what's going on. But I'll tell you guys, their vision is clear. Their focus is indeed genuine. And, man, just the renovations that we've seen over the past couple of months just tells us all that obviously the place is there to stay.
What kind of things have changed in those couple of months? What kind of things have they done?
My selfish needs were met with a brand-new PA system. And I don't know, I'm sure you guys have heard of Phil Dentler. He did Billy Martino's PA over at USA International. And I called Phil. He came up, and Dirt pretty much gave him a blank check.
Ouch.
Nice.
I'll tell you what, though, man, it's a beautiful system, absolutely incredible. New lights have already been installed, new poles, new lights throughout the entire track. New grandstands, new fence, new flag stand, and just on and on, and they're not even finished.
Yeah, we got Miss Jeannie Lynch sitting in here with us. She's working, of course, to get her way your way pretty soon. But
wonderful.
She's looking forward to seeing all the new amenities, I would imagine, huh, Jean?
Yes, Volusia. You know, I've been at Volusia from the start with the dirt track there, and Benny Corbin and all that when he was preparing the track. You know, Joe.
And he's still there.
He's
a fixture, and he better not go anywhere.
That's right. That's right. But then I also experienced the when they put asphalt on the track.
Right.
And then I also had we did some all-star races over on the third of a mile when they cut that in and made it dirt. Right. So yep. It's been a lot of changes, and then it was back to asphalt, and then dirt was back on the big track there, the one where, you know, the showcase part.
Gene, over the past several years, but I'll tell you, it's back to its original state, and you talked about when they turned the asphalt, or the old dirt, the big half mile, I should say, into asphalt. They actually hosted a bush race there. I don't know if you guys remember watching that one. Saturday afternoon on TNT, the track actually came apart in turn four. Dale Earnhardt raced in that race, Jeff Gordon, and just to name a few, but that's the claim to fame. And then, of course, the footage that you saw in, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm not remembering the name of the movie. Come on, you guys, in Central Florida, Daytona, Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder, right.
Days of Thunder. So, yeah, I mean, it's seen a lot of changes, but it's back to its original state. And, you know, Gene, you talked about Benny, and Benny, a lot of people don't realize that Benny actually built New Smyrna Speedway as well.
I had forgotten that. Yes.
Yeah, he sure did.
Wow.
He sure did. Then he turned around and built Volusia. And, you know, the place has seen different surfaces here in the south, as you guys know, being so close to East Bay and the few dirt tracks we have. We're not as lucky as Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, and some of those states where you can just go dig clay up anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to really experiment with these surfaces. And right now, Volusia, it's a what they call it gumbo, and they're working on it, trying to get the right handle on it. And Benny's the only guy that can do it. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nicer to come to a real clay track as to one of those processed ones. I remember, I think Jacksonville got my attention when I went there the one time I went, and it was more of an oil-covered dirt or something. It was kind of weird.
Sure.
But the clay tracks, when you can sling that stuff up and it sticks and turns something red, that's pretty cool.
Well, you must
exactly. That's what you see up in the Tennessee Valley and some of those states up there, but... You know, in Florida, you got to go through the swamps. You got to dig out what you can find. That's
Joe,
what you got to work with. Yeah,
yeah. We just had Chad Kemenaw on the phone before you, and I know he liked your surface very much last year because didn't he set a new track record in the sprint cars on opening night? And doesn't it still stand?
It still stands, and I'm afraid that'll stand for a long time. You guys, I tried to research the exact number, but. What's standing out to me and what was so amazing, this was a high 13-second lap. Does that sound right, Gene?
Oh, boy, I don't remember now, but
yeah, it was
I know.
It was a 13.7 or 8 or something up there, I think.
Yeah, man, and this is a half mile, so do the math. I mean, you have to be clipping on about 160 miles an hour.
That's flat out.
Yeah, that's flat out because East Bay's fastest lap is an 11.612, I think, something like that.
And it's only
now the all-time record is a 12, and that was on the Super Modified back when the half mile was back.
Yeah, but that's back when they cheated them up and had all them sideboards and wing things on them and stuff too.
I think you lost. Oh, there you go. Okay, go ahead.
Are you traveling?
Actually, see paper trails coming off of the weather was right, but we're excited. I mean, we're going to the 41 years of Winter Nationals. You talk about sprint cars, Chad. I know he'll be there. The All-Star Circuit of Champions. It all kicks off February 6th. World of Outlaws, the big story. Not just the late models going into their third full season, but the sprint cars. Everybody's back together. They're back home, so we're very excited about that. UMP late models, and then, of course, the Advanced Auto Parts Super Dirt Series. A lot of people here in the South never get a chance to see these big blocks, which started Dirt Motorsports, guys like Brett Hearn, Danny Johnson, just to name a few. So the big blocks are a big part of it. They've actually added two nights for them. Now they'll race the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Hey, Joe, this is Jack Smith. Bill Green and Rick Angies and myself had a major argument here before we went on the air.
All right.
And the conclusion was is that we're coming over to Volusia on the 11th. Can you handle that?
Excellent. It'd be a pleasure to host you guys, no doubt. You're going to see the World of Outlaws sprint cars as well as UMP modifieds. So the three of you?
We just don't want to come now. We want to bring the equipment and do a live broadcast from the track.
Shouldn't be a problem. As you guys obviously realize, you know, the tower gets crazy. If you guys are pretty portable and it's something you can do and kind of isolate the three of you, you know, elbow to elbow, I know I can.
We have high-tech satellite communications trailers and, you know, all the ESPN
the
stuff.
And everything.
Yeah, we'll need space for three RVs and a semi.
We'll be there in Bill's Yukon.
Is this something you want to do for sure?
If you're buying that, I'm selling.
I'll definitely arrange it
first
thing in the morning.
Yes, it's absolutely for sure.
Yeah, we'll be there. We will only need two parking spots and a 115 power plug, but yes, we'll be there.
And a DSL hookup.
Yeah, and a DSL hookup. We got our own router, so we'll
okay, good deal, we'll man. That'd be wonderful.
All right, that'll be awesome, man.
The UMP modified, they don't bring a lot of staff members. They bring none, actually, but the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars, this, of course, is their final night. This is the biggie for them on February 11th. That's Sunday. So
we've actually heard tell that the World of Outlaws kind of likes our show because we talk nice about them and we do promote them quite well.
They should, so. You know. I mean, come on. Even though they're the only game in town now,
no doubt.
That's it. Hey, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you taking time to drop in and talk to us. Jeez,
you're
busy this time of year.
We'll be talking to you a little more during the Winter Nationals, Joe.
You got it. Hey, listen, I want to talk to you guys when I do, in fact, see you. I've got a Mac here, and I'm unable to listen to the show, so you're going to have to show me how to do it.
We'll try.
A Macintosh? I don't think I even have that book yet.
You might be going to Walmart.
February 6th, everybody. That's Tuesday.
We'll see what we can do, but I know that I've got a... I've got a Sergeant Gross from the Army here. I'll borrow a grenade. We'll fix it.
We'll put it on the racing radios trailer.
I got it.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
We're only 15 miles west of Daytona on 40 right there in Barberville, so I hope to see everybody out there.
All right, Joe.
We'll talk to you soon, Joe.
All right, guys. See you.
All right. Joe Lion Barrier, I'm saying it right?
Yeah, they do a radio show on Monday night, too.
Yeah, he's got one he's involved with.
Monday night about 8 o'clock, I believe.
Something like
that. Yeah.
That's cool. Hey, Rick.
I think we're going to go to a very short break. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some stuff at USA International Speedway coming up, the Speed Fest, Eddie Van Meter.
All right.
And Gene Crane.
This one will be so short, you won't even realize we're gone, ladies and gentlemen. All right, don't go far. We'll be back with Gene Lynch, Clyde Poole, and we're going to be talking to Eddie Van Meter and Gene Crane yet tonight. So don't go far. We'll be right back.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Whether it be tidy whiteys or banana hammocks, you're the one who makes sure our skivvies cut the mustard.
Riding high.
You make sure the door is fastened with secure seams so that the cow doesn't get out of the barn when it shouldn't.
Don't let it out.
Dedicating yourself to a craft others might poo-poo, you can pass every single man on the street and say with pride, you there, you're wearing my underpants.
Oh, yeah.
And no, I don't want them back. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Eagle Eyes, because we're all glad you've got your hands in our shorts.
Change them up, yeah.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Real Racing USA, back on the airwaves, Short Track America Network. We'll be live at Volusia County Speedway, East Bay Raceway, and North Florida Speedway. But right now, we're going to go back to the asphalt a little bit here, Jack. Eddie Van Meter. Eddie, how you doing tonight, brother? Eddie.
Oh, Bill lost him.
Oh, did he? He's right there.
We're here.
Oh, there you are.
There he is.
He was just busy. Yeah.
He was just coming around turn four, that's all.
You weren't taking a tinkle in the parking lot, I hope.
Yeah, got a little loose there, but we're back.
All right. Eddie, you won the big race down here at USA Speedway last year. Had to be a thrill.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Last year we had a good car down here, and it was real good to get our first win down here at Lakeland. We've been down here every year, run good every year, just never been lucky enough. And last year we was able to put the whole deal together, so real proud of that.
Now, you started racing at 16 on dirt tracks, did some super truck racing, but the wildest thing I see here in your bio is running at the Speedrome in that crazy figure eight race.
Oh, yeah. That
You're nuts.
I'll tell you, we actually went back this year and did a little bit more of that. They had a couple big figure eight races, and we went back out there and done some more of it, and it was a lot of fun. You know, when people think about figure eight cars, they think of them old jalopies. But out there at Speedrome, you know, their figure eight cars are $30,000 figure eight cars.
Oh, no doubt, man. I mean, those cars are highly technical, you know, with the wings and all that stuff. I ran a figure eight race down here at DeSoto. Of course, I was running a little Enduro Camaro. But we had a couple of them guys that were, the next weekend, they were headed up to Speedrome. And, I mean, these cars, when they passed, it was like it sucked the wind out of the motor.
Yeah, them the figure eight cars up north there, they're pretty high-tech. So they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, because we sent out our press release about who was going to be on our show, and, you know, your name was on it, and it talked about you winning at Lakeland. And I got three emails from people saying, don't forget to ask him about
the Speedrome,
the figure eight racing up north.
Yeah. Now, that's a big stage, the Speedrome and stuff. What's it like to go in there for a figure eight race against some of the best in the country I know show up for that deal?
Well, you know, we ran figure eight for quite a few years there at the Speedrome and won a bunch of races. So it's kind of nice when we go back there because they're all looking forward to beating us. So, you know, in the past when we ran there, you know, we was always kind of looking forward to beating the Jack Nossies and the Bill Tunneys and them guys. But now when we show up, they, you know, I guess we're the ones with the bullet on the side.
So did you practice today at Lakeland?
Yes, we did.
How'd you do?
We wasn't too bad. We brought two cars down. We had two different motor packages, two different complete setups. And when the day was over, we ended up running what we came here last year with.
Well, that's the norm. Everybody comes in trying something new, and they always go back to the old.
Yeah, that's what they say. Whatever you raced 5 years ago, keep it around because you're going to use it again.
What's the schedule like this week at USA International? I haven't looked at all of it, but you guys will be racing a lot of laps come Saturday, I know.
200.
Yeah, it's 100 lap for the Northern Friday and 100 lap for the Southern Friday, and then it's a combined race on Saturday of 200 laps.
Wow, so by the time you do qualifying, some practice laps and so forth, you could do almost, I bet, close to 500-600 laps.
Oh, at least. We probably ran 100 laps today.
Yeah, that's
what Tire Man's going to be happy.
Well, you know, we haven't talked to him yet, but you got to think Wayne Anderson's got to be one of those guys that you got to be prepared to beat, huh?
Yeah, you know he'll be tough. Fritz, you know they're going to be there. Today, Brian Campbell, he was down, and he was pretty good. So, you know, there's going to be quite a few Northern guys that's going to be pretty tough. But, you know, when you come down south here, you always got to run against them guys. And wherever these guys down south run, they're good everywhere they go. So, you know, you got to beat them guys. So, kind of looking forward to it. I think we got our stuff together and maybe give them a little bit of run for the money.
What number are you running?
23.
All right.
So during the year now, how many super late model events do you carry?
Probably with the speed weeks and everything, we probably run close to 30 super late model races.
And they're not all in your backyard. I mean, you got to go away some of those.
Yeah, you know, we go as far as obviously down here to Florida, over to Missouri, Kansas City, up Michigan, northern Ohio. You know, they just about run them things everywhere.
Wow. Well, Eddie, now, and you can be as biased as you want with this with the answer to this, but how does the CRA and the other sanctioning bodies that you run with in the super late models, how do they stack up against what you see with the Florida guys, like in Fast Car and so forth?
Well, you're going to get me in trouble here.
Well, that's why I asked the question, Eddie.
I really believe the CRA has probably got the toughest tech. If you show up, I honestly believe that everybody's on the same playing field. I think a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times when you come down south here, that may not be the case.
So the competition is like more even? Is that what you're saying? Like where, like in the CRA, are you saying that like there's a lot of guys who can win a race and that may not be the case down south?
Yeah, up there, up north in the CRA, I think we ran 18 races this year and had 16 different winners. I think when you come down south here, you know, I don't know how many races they win, but watching the papers, it's usually always, you know, the same three or four guys that's dominating down here.
That was CRA Tech at Snowball.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That was CRA Tech at Snowball, okay. So that was tight.
Yeah, that was a good race.
Yeah, you know, quite a few of them got thrown out there. So I think
right. Top two,
don't we know? The winner,
don't we know? That's pretty high praise, actually. I mean, when you're talking about tech and the tech being the final word on any race anywhere, that's pretty good that you can feel that the playing field is fairly level because they're doing such a good job.
Yeah, and believe me, I've tried to get away with some stuff and. You know, they sent me back to the trailer and made me change it. So, you know, I don't think that anybody in the CRA series is going to get away with any more than the other guy. And that's what makes it nice. You know, when I show up to the racetrack and know that you've got the same stuff I've got, it makes it a lot more fun for me.
Well, Eddie, we'll look forward to seeing you come pass through Florida and see what you can do with them. But I also think that's going to be kind of cool. I'll kind of keep an eye out for the next time. When you be at the Speedrome?
Yeah, we'll be there. We actually we built a brand-new figure eight car over the winter. And we're going to run there quite a bit this year. And they have a big figure eight race out in California. We're going to go out there and run that. So we plan on doing maybe maybe 10 to 15 figure eight races this year.
I got a question for you, too. When you come down and go to USA International and go to those races, do you get a chance to go see any of the other Winter National Speed Weeks kind of things that are happening in Florida?
We usually don't. You know, when we come down, especially for, you know, USA, we, you know, like today, we rented the track today. So, you know, today was pretty full. Tomorrow we're taking it easy, and then we got to be back there Thursday. So we don't have a lot of time for speed weeks. Of course, you're there, you know, every night. So it's really, you know, a lot of guys say it's a vacation, but it's really not that way anymore.
All right, Eddie, we'll be looking for you Saturday night down there at Lakeland.
We'll see you Saturday up there, no doubt.
Yeah, we'll be up there.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, Eddie, we'll see you. Eddie Van Meter, man.
The Van Meter Man. There's no doubt about it. It's
now we're going to talk
awesome,
to
awesome,
we're going to talk to the guy who's going to call the race.
Oh, come on! This is my remember. Come on, go back with me. Auburndale Speedway, 1993.
Is this sponsored from the Air Force? The United States Army?
Pretty close for tonight. Okay. We're going to give it to him. But I just came back from the Air Force, and I went to go work at the racetrack because I liked being around the races and I liked getting in free. So I went to Auburndale Speedway, and who was the announcer at Auburndale Speedway? The man himself at Gene Crane was the announcer at Auburndale Speedway, and I learned everything I know from the guru behind the microphone, Gene Crane. Gene, welcome to the show.
Gene.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
How'd you like that smoke blowing?
Gene, he blows that smoke every time we have you on
the
show.
I say the same. I do not lie. Gene, am I lying, buddy? You were the guy who innovated and showed me how to run a book. You showed me how to do the keep the fans entertained. Yeah, but... Yeah.
A gambling book?
No. Shut up. Anyway,
Gene, you got some multi-talents, brother.
But he was the guy that showed me in the beginning that just because first, second, and third are so far out in front doesn't mean you can't talk about fourth and fifth and make it as exciting as anything else.
No doubt.
Exactly right. It takes all those cars to have a good race.
Hey, Gene.
Now that that's over with.
Eddie Van Meter said he's ready.
Well, today Eddie's pretty tough. I've got an opportunity to watch him several times up in the Midwest in conjunction with the Pro Cup races, and Eddie Van Meter's a tough cookie there in the 23 car. But you know, we got Eddie Hoffman coming, we've got Cassius Clark coming out of Maine. Of course, our usual contingent of very strong Florida cars, and of course Mike Fritz coming back to try to defend his championship from last year. You know, Wayne Anderson, B.J. McLeod, Brian Finney, but Shelby Howard is on the list. Shelby's going to be pretty tough. I talked to him just a couple of weeks ago up at the Pro Cup banquet. He's looking forward to getting down here and racing in the late model. And Butch Miller, also pre-entering on his way down to do some racing this coming weekend at U.S. International Speedway. So we've got a pretty good lineup of all-stars on their way.
Well, now, Gene, I got to ask you, though, the local guys – can go to the dirt track and be successful against the guys from up north. They can go to the smaller tracks. But when it comes to USA, the local guys sometimes in the end kind of get snookered out by some of the guys coming from up north. I mean, they run good. They wind up in the top five or top ten. But winning those races is very, very difficult at USA when it comes to the guys that come from all over the country this time of year.
Well, you know, this is an off season, so everybody brings their A game. They've been silent for a while. Maybe some of them came down and ran the Snowball Derby, but these guys are hungry. They want to go racing. They want to get behind the wheel. And also up north, they've got some pretty quick tracks, thinking of Salem and Winchester and, of course, O'Reilly Raceway Park there in Indy. And so these guys are no stranger to the big, fast racetracks. And USA is a bit unique down here in Florida, that we are the longest track that most of our super late model competitors have a chance to see. But I tell you, you can't discount Mike Fritz, and of course Wayne Anderson's always going to be tough. We've got a pretty good group of guys from down here in Florida that they can hold their own.
You got Tim Russell too, and like you said, there is a good group of guys. But man, I'm looking over this pre-entry list, and there's a lot of out-of-staters coming in.
There's a bunch. That's what I was thinking.
There are. You know, Patrick LaPearl has a good run down here for the past 2 years out of Quebec. So it's not just limited to the U.S. We've got some Canadian interest as well.
What's the outlook for this week of racing? We were just talking to Van Meter, said he's going to have to run something like 600 laps by the time he practices 100 laps today. He runs another 100 lap race, a 200 lap race on Saturday, and all the things that go on with qualifying and in between. What's it take to actually be there at the end and wind up not only as part of the final day's racing activity, but to be in front when you get there and be starting up front helps a lot, I know, but to get yourself in a position?
Well, obviously, you got to have a good game plan. And Goodyear, of course, is one of our headline sponsors of Speed Fest. They're going to bring a good tire. It's a different tire from what we've used in the past. So managing your tires, understanding what the track's going to do, and, of course, Thursday night practice, that's an opportunity for teams to understand how the track will change after the sun goes down. Friday night, we've got the 100-lap late model qualifiers, if you will, 100 laps for the Southern Division or Southern Type Late Models, and the Northern Type Late Models will then run 100 laps as well. So a good opportunity to do a little bit of learning, and having a good spotter also is going to be a big deal, because there's going to be quite a crowd trying to get to that front.
Hey, is there any TV coverage this year? Anything going on there?
Not for this event, no.
Okay.
No, there is not.
Well, I look forward to getting your updates and stuff, and hopefully you can give us a call Tuesday, maybe line up the winner of this show this weekend, and we'll get a chance to talk to him.
Well, we're going to be there Saturday. We were going to talk to him, too.
And don't forget, we've got action on Friday as well. Racing starts at 8 p.m. both nights.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to it, because I know it's going to be quite the weekend of racing all over the state. So this Winter Nationals programs that come into this time frame and the speed weeks really start to bring the crowd. So hopefully that'll beef it up. Plus, I think all that snow up north is going to help, too.
It's cold
don't
up there.
Don't talk about that stuff.
Oh, man.
Don't talk about that stuff.
Yeah, we were talking to, who was it on the truck coming down south? Chad Kimenoff.
Chad Kimenoff.
And he
said
he's just getting to the Georgia-Florida line. He could finally take his coat off.
We're supposed to get a little bit of a cold snap, but actually the weather forecast is very good for the weekend. So not only for us there in Lakeland, but across the state, looks like everybody will have some good weekend weather. And, of course, the temperatures will be moderate, good for making some horsepower and putting on some good racing.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate your efforts to keep the word out, and you're doing a great job, man. We know that USA is in good hands, and we look forward to seeing every show that comes to town.
Sounds good, guys.
All right.
Good evening. Thanks a lot.
We'll see you Saturday night.
Thanks, Gene.
Okay, take care, guys.
All right.
Gene Crane, ladies
Gene
and gentlemen,
Crane.
The voice of USA International Speedway.
So, Rick, who did we talk to tonight?
Wait
a minute. We just did a 3.5-hour show in 2 hours.
We started the show out with Mr. Excitement, John Birdie.
Yeah.
That was a thrill. Of course, Jeannie Lynch. I mean, God, we could do a
awesome.
3-hour
you
show.
You could do
with just her.
You could do a
4-hour.
You could do a weekly hour.
Absolutely.
Radio show.
Just scratch the surface there.
Clyde Poole, he was on. It's always great to talk to Clyde.
Elvis,
Sticks, Greg Leonard.
Yep.
Chad Kimenoff, Alan Holland, Eddie Van Meter, Gene Crane.
Next week, check this out. Next week, we're going to be talking to some promoters from around the country about the positive aspects of cooperation as opposed to confrontation between track owners and
don't
promoters.
We have a couple of instincts?
And we're going to talk to Jim Jones, who is starting his 29th year of photographing fast car.
Standing up there on turn four.
Yeah.
A maniac.
On the racetrack.
And something you guys don't even know, I'm going to bring you somebody from Australia on this show next week.
Is it a racer, or is it just an
Australian? Who do you want?
Is it just an Australian?
I'll get you an Australian promoter.
Okay.
That's good.
That's good.
How's that?
That'll work.
All right.
I got an email just this week that talked to me one more time. Somebody brought up the subject of, they asked this question, am I just seeing things wrong, or are we not on the upswing of the way people are looking at short track Saturday night racing?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Now, if you listen, there's a certain group of people who
Who's
go
we?
On message boards. Now I'm going to give us. See, I got to do this. There's a certain small number of people who like to get on message boards and beat the negative drumbeat. And I'm telling you, I mean, we are on a wavelength. We hear all of what goes on, good, bad, and ugly, from the promoters, from the fans, from the drivers. We talk to people in a way a lot of people don't see. And I'm telling you, it's on an upswing.
It is.
No doubt,
I feel it is, too.
Mind.
I'll tell you, it's the best I've seen it in the 10 years I've been
absolutely.
Doing this.
I would absolutely agree. And if there's media, some of the media people are going talking about how it's all doom and gloom. They're full of nonsense. They're not connected, and they don't know what's going
They're
on.
They're not there.
They're not there.
They're not there. They're still on the outside looking at it.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, folks, You be here next Tuesday night. Real Racing USA will bring you another good one. We'll pack another 3 hours into 2 hours of radio show, and we'll look forward to it.
And we'll give you our opinion whether you like it or not.
Oh, that very well
no
could be.
No doubt.
Hey.
Good night.
Let's take it on out of here. Thanks so much to everybody who dropped by. Gene Crane, Clyde Poole, and even Sergeant Gross dropping in the end. We will look forward to talking
Lynch.
To everybody. I said that. Miss Jeannie. And we want to make sure that we thank you for taking time to listen to Short Track America and Real Racing USA. So thanks so much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next Tuesday night.
Right here at the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East.
One more time.